The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Alex Dunn, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Big day to look forward to as well. It's William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup Day at Musselburgh. We also have good racing at York and Sandown, listed races at both of those venues. It's Bath and Hexham alongside that in the afternoon, and Leicester, Lingfield and Limerick in the evening. So, real busy Saturday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Andrew Mount. Hi, Andrew.
Greetings, Mr. Walton. How are you?
I am pretty good. Pretty Excellent. Good, in fact. Nice weekend of racing coming up. And then on the back of that, straight into Royal Ascot, pretty much. So, great time of year.
And it wouldn't be a podcast with you without talking about your current facial hair state. I see you've gone for the summer look and you've got rid of it.
Yeah, I've gone for the lighter summer feel because it was all getting a bit much. It was quite big in the end.
Yeah, it was.
The old beard.
Growing wild, I think, is the expression.
Well, being such a fashionista as well, I realised that fashion had reached peak beard, you see. Yep. Too many people had beards. So to stand out from the crowd and to change the trend, I had to go clean shaven. So.
Good thinking. I see what you've done. where do you stand on the gentlemen not wearing socks with their suits, which seems to be the big thing for under-30s at the races nowadays?
Yeah, it is a trend that worries me because I don't like it.
Well, I've just checked the dress code for the Royal Enclosure at Royal Ascot.
You have to wear socks.
There's no mention of wearing socks.
Is there not?
You've got to wear a top hat. You've got to wear a morning suit. You've got to wear a waistcoat and a tie. Yeah. You've got to wear black shoes, but no mention of wearing socks. So we could see some interesting goings on there next week.
Yeah. I've done it before with chinos and trainers and stuff, but never with a suit. You've got to wear socks with a suit, haven't you? Apparently not, but yeah. Anyway, that's enough about fashion. Let's talk about some racing. I'm going to talk about some Royal Ascot stories in a moment too, but before we get stuck into that, news from Leopardstown that they're going to host a new jumps extravaganza, an Irish jumps champions weekend in February, which on paper looks very good.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, happy with that?
I'll take it. It's a good time of year as well, isn't it? Because you've got that a bit of a lull in that period where you're waiting for the Cheltenham Festival. So,
do you think it will have an impact on the Cheltenham Festival?
I think there'll be sufficient time between that Leopardstown meeting and the festival not to affect it detrimentally.
Yeah. So we've got that to look forward to. Just wanted to mention that because it looks like a good idea. More top-class jumps racing is a great idea, in my opinion, no matter what. So that's good. A bit of news about Royal Ascot as well before we get stuck into some bets there. Sheikh Fahad has raised the point that it's unfair that Wesley Ward was allowed to work his horses on the Ascot track. The plan originally was to take them to the Rowley Mile, but the ground was too quick. Ascot allowed Wesley Ward to take his runners there, but is it fair that he's allowed to do that and nobody else is?
Is it that much of an advantage to gallop on the track at Ascot? It's a straight, slightly uphill track, and there's plenty of others of those around, aren't there? You know, there's Newmarket, for example, and I don't think it's going to make a huge difference.
Hmm.
It seems a bit a fuss over nothing and a storm in a teacup.
So you're not having it?
No.
Right, okay. With regards to the Royal Ascot then, let's talk betting for the Royal Meeting. What's your best bet or things you're looking forward to next week?
The only horse I've bet anti-post is Alpha Delfini for the King Stand Stakes. I thought this would run really well on the Temple Stakes at Haydock last time, so I took a bit of the 40-1 each way. And it was good to see him go down narrowly, beaten three quarters of a length into third behind Priceless in that group race at Haydock. And he's got a fantastic record over 5 furlongs. He'd caught the eye when mid-division in the Palace House Stakes at Newmarket the time before when badly drawn.
Yeah.
And the stiffer track will suit. He's won 5 of his 8 starts over 5 furlongs away from Pontefract, where he's unsuited by the left-handed track. And given how well he's done at Ascot before and at the likes of Beverley, a stiff 5 furlongs is perfect. So hopefully he'll be kindly drawn.
Mm.
And he's currently priced at 20-1 with us here at William Hill. And I think he's a good each-way play against the favourite Lady Aurelia.
Yeah, I like it. 20-1 wears those familiar Tangerine Trees colours, doesn't he?
That's right.
I think he's related to Tangerine Trees as well.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Good. So Alfa Delfini, the bet for Andrew then in the King's Stand Stakes, a 20-1 chance. Anything? Obviously, don't have to put betting into this, but anything you're looking forward to at Royal Ascot next week? What's the highlight that you can't wait to see?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Wokingham, the Royal Hunt Camp. I just like the big field. You know, handicaps.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, on the straight course. And again, you can often break this down with the draw as well. It's been a big advantage to be drawn high on the straight course at Ascot this season, and generally speaking, you want to be very high or occasionally very low and be drawn near either rail. So although some of these races look pretty impossible with 30 runners, by the time you break it down with sort of draw and pace bias analysis, you can make it manageable and stab out some big price runners with a good chance.
Nice. Makes it more easy, doesn't it? Narrow the field down. Good stuff. Right, we'll obviously move on to Royal Ascot next week. It starts on Tuesday. We'll have all of the coverage live on William Hill Racing Radio. We'll hear from Sir Anthony McCoy along the way. We'll have Ken Pitterson in the paddock as well. And we'll have a crack team of studio pundits throughout the week. So make sure you're with us for Royal Ascot next week. Really looking forward to it here on William Hill Racing Radio. Right now, though, we're going to concentrate on matters closer to hand. Good Saturday of racing coming up. Busy Saturday. We'll get Andrew's thoughts in four races next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we're going to look at four races on the Saturday. Big day at Musselburgh for us here at William Hill. It's the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup, and we've also got the William Hill Tartan Trophy, which is the consolation race for that. That's at 2:05. That's the first race we look at. It's over 5 furlongs, and a big field here, field of 15, set to go to post for this one. Rashik is the 5-1 market leader at the time of recording this. Zach Brown is 7-1, 8-1 accessible. Show Daisy 10-1, Stanghow 10-1 as well. Fast Track is 11-1, Straight to the Point 12s with Orient Class, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Nice little warm up for the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup, because this is a wide open sprint handicap.
That's right. I mean, this is a great initiative, having the consolation race. It's been going for 3 years now, and there's a prize in excess of over £25,000 for the winner. So it's a big race in its own right, really. And looking in previous renewals, it's been an advantage to be up with the pace. Last year, Midway, 20-1 winner for Brian Smart, was described as having made all, despite being drawn out wide in stall 4. The year before, Pearl Acclaim, 14-1, was in touch against Stan's rail. And then in 2014, Robot Boy, the 11-4 favourite from stall 11, chase leaders. So looking for something that's going to race up with the pace, and I'm drawn again to Midway, last year's winner, also ran in this race behind Pearl Acclaim in 2015 and finished second that year, so he's obviously been laid out for this again, as well as could be expected from a terrible draw on his comeback at Beverley in April. Was stuck out wide in stall 14 and had very little chance, and everything has been geared up for this, I would think. Not particularly well drawn again in stall 3, but like last year, early speed counteracted that low draw, and I'm hoping he can do so again.
All right, 16-1 for Midway, so a big price to defend his crown there in the William Hill Tartan Trophy. Main dangers in there, anything you worried about?
A couple of interest. I mean, Rashik ran a really good speed figure when second at York last time, but I'm slightly worried about his hold-up style. It can be difficult to come from off the pace here over the minimum trip at Musselburgh. But a stablemate of Midway, Straight to the Point. Disappointing at Ayr last time, finishing last of the six runners, but was only beaten a couple of lengths, and I don't think that track would have paid to his strengths. It's likely to be up with the pace as well, so perhaps Straight to the Point can chase home his stablemate and give Brian Smart a 1-2.
Could be a good day for Brian Smart then, if it goes to Andrew's plan. That's the 2:05 at Musselburgh. We move on to Sandown next, the 2:40s race we're going to look at on their card. This is the Scurry Stakes, which is a listed race of 5 furlongs for the 3-year-olds. Fashion Queen is the favourite here at 5-2. Copper Knight is 4-1. 11-2 Equimu. Ardad is 6-1. 8-1 Batash. 11-1 Quench Dolly, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. If we may, Andrew, we'll start with Fashion Queen, given that we've started with a bit of fashion talk at the start of the podcast, and the fact that she was a winner at the Dante meeting at York. A bit of a surprise winner that day. So did you expect her to be favourite this time around?
That was a really strange race. Yeah. That listed Westo Stakes with there was only 5 runners, but they split into 2 distinct groups. Now, the 3 that raced down the middle from the 3 lowest draws finished 1, 2, and 3, and they were the 3 biggest price horses in the race. Fashion Queen winning at 20-1, beating Kalang Rock, a 9-1 shot by a head into second. The two that raced hard up against the stands rail, Our Dad and Brian the Snail, finished out with the washing. So I think that form's got to be highly questionable. And I'm not hugely keen on Fashion Queen here, although, you know, she's not badly drawn in stall four. So, and again, Sandown, 5 furlongs since they reversed the draw in 2011, around about 50% of all races have been won by stall one or stall two. So, I mean, I generally back both of them blind and do a reverse forecast, and it's you know, been very profitable over the years. So I'm instantly drawn to Our Dad in stall one, 6-1 shot. He had a fantastic season last year, winning 3 times at the minimum trip. And of course, I think you can draw a line through that reappearance run at York. So I'm expecting him to bounce back here. Now, you know, hopefully he can race prominently and hold his position from stall one, because you've got a lot of pace drawn out wide here from Quench Dolly in stall seven, as well as Batash in stall nine. So there's likely to be a scramble for that rail in the early stages. But yeah, Our Dad's got sufficient early toe, I think, to hold a good position, and he's my ideal of the winner. Although I'd also give a quick mention to Gedar, is it, for William Haggis, a 14-1 shot at the time of recording this. Tends to race keenly in small fields, racing with the choke out. But the only time she's had a big field and strong pace previously, she finished 2nd of 17, beaten by a neck at Doncaster. So I think the race will be run to suit her. So with a clear run from stall three, Gidar could give you a run for your money as well.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Our Dad, though. I think I'm expecting much better from him on Saturday afternoon. I was there at York that day, and as soon as Frankie took him over to the dead rail, if you like, he was accompanied by Brian the Snell. They kind of focused on each other, being the two market leaders, and the race just got away from them. I just put a line through that, and if he turns back to his form at Royal Ascot, say last year, where he just blitzed them, I think he's got a big chance there, and I think 6-1's a little bit overpriced.
Well, I think, yeah, Our Dad should be probably half those odds, and Fashion Queen should be much bigger. But, all will be revealed in the fullness of time.
Nice. Let's move on to the action at York next. We're going to look at the listed race on their card, which is the Ganton Stakes. That's at 2:55. It's just short of a mile, really. A field of 10 set to go to post for this one, and the betting at the time of recording this is headed by Spark Plug and Thicriart, who are the 4-1 joint favourites. Gabriel is 5-1, Mondial East 6-1, Golden Stunner 7s, also 7-1 for Cafu Shamami and Arabian Hope, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. What do you make of this? I think it's a tricky race to get a handle on, because you've got horses that have been a little bit disappointing, that are probably better or have proven themselves at listed races. Then you've got the improvers coming from handicapping, and the ones that are in form haven't quite proved at listed level yet. So
yeah, it is very, very difficult indeed. I mean, Spark Plug was beaten by a nose at Goodwood last time in a listed race, but that was over 10 furlongs. And, dropping back to a mile could leave him vulnerable. And, you know, Brian Meehan, I think, is one winner from 21 in the last fortnight. So the yard's not exactly hit full stride yet. And Thicriart has run 2 shockers in a row now. Finished last of 5 on his final start last year, and then was well beaten at York on his return. Although perhaps the ground was too soft for him that day. But you've got doubts about those at the head of the market. So I'm looking just behind that pair, and Mondial East for David O'Mara is one that does interest me, and usually needs a couple of runs before hitting peak form, and showed more than on debut when fourth at Sandown last time out. I said that debut effort when 6th in a listed race at Ascot is easily forgiven, because you look at the quotes on the Racing Post website, and his trainer says Ascot doesn't bring out the best in him. So it was surprising to see him go off at 7-2 for that reappearance run. So I think with those efforts behind him and having a good record at York, I think Mondial East could be the way to go here. I'll also give so he's had 2 runs here, a first and a second by 3/4 length to Time Test, when he would have been getting a lot more weight, you know, were at a handicap.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Mondial East, then the selection for Andrew in the 2:55 at York. And we thought that was a little bit tricky. The next race is even more so, the 3:10, the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup Handicap. One of the big handicap sprint races of the season. 5 furlongs in front of them here. We've got a field of 17. set to go to post here, and the market headed by Duke of Frenzy, who's 6-1, Orion's Bow 7-1, 10-1 Kimberella, Desert Lore 11s, Caspian Prince 12s, El Astronaute 12-1 as well, Gamesome, another one in there at 12-1 in the market. It's then 14s for Bosun Fred, Harry Hurricane, Line of Reason, East Street Review and Stepper Point, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. I suppose there are many form angles into this, Andrew, but one of them would be the dash at Epsom last time, where several of these ran in the race. Caspian Prince, obviously the winner of that race, and Duke of Frenzy, a fast finishing third, and some of the others in behind as well. So is that the key form here, do you think?
I think it is, and or certainly it might be. And Duke of Frenzy, for example, was third in this race last year, doing best of those who were ridden patiently. So looking at this race over the past 10 seasons, we've had a 50-1 winner, a 28-1 winner, a couple of 16-1 shots. Seven of the 10 winners were drawn in double figures, and the three that were drawn lower tended to be up with the pace. Demora made all from stall three in 2014. So really, you know, you're looking for something that's going to be ideally drawn high and that can hold a good early position and avoid the likely crowding up the rail as everyone tries to get across to it. So there is an awful lot of pace in this race. Plenty of these like to make the running. And the ones that interested me, I thought Kimberella from that Epsom dash, although only 10th that day, was beaten, you know, only by about three lengths. And I thought, might be better served by his draw here in stall 14 than the likes of Caspian Prince stuck out wide in stall 4. So Kimberella is certainly on the shortlist. And the other one of interest is Orion's Bow, ex-Dandy Nichols, who's sort of caught the eye in both starts since joining Tim Easterby this season. Very weak in the betting, went 6 of 13 at Ripon on his comeback in April, only went down by three lengths behind Intersab. And then last time was a close fourth to Mythmaker at Haydock, making the running, doesn't normally. And after which sort of Tim Easterby was saying, you know, should be all capable of winning a big race on softer going this year. I mean, the drying ground's a slight concern, but what's interesting, this one's only had one run over the minimum trip of 5 furlongs before. And he won in a big field, beating Bosun Fred at Newcastle last summer. So I think the key here could be the drop back to 5 for Orion's Bow. He's well drawn in stall 13. He's tactically versatile. You know, he might be able to break smartly and sit just behind the pace. So I'd take Orion's Bow, a 7-1 shot, just to come out on top from Kimberella.
Okay, Orion's Bow then, 7-1 second favourite in the market. Kimberella is 10-1 third favourite. So they've both been quite well found in the market there, haven't they? I thought Orion's Bow would be a little bit less noticed than that, given his form figures and the fact that
I was hoping so, yeah. Sadly not.
They're onto it. Anyway, let's have a little bit of a summary before we go then, Andrew, if you wouldn't mind, as always, just confirming your selections for us then for Saturday.
Right, in the 205, the William Hill Tartan Trophy, the consolation race for the Scottish Sprint Cup, I'm going for last year's winner, Meadway, for Brian Smart, who can hopefully break smartly from his wide draw. Then we're over to Sandown for the listed Scurry Stakes, the 240. I'm with the well-drawn Ardad to bounce back from his York comeback disappointment. Then we're going to York for a very tricky one-mile listed race. That's the 255. I'm going with Mondial East for David O'Mara. And then finally back to Musselburgh for the main event, the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup. And I'm with Orion's Bow, but we'll be having a saver on Kimberella, both well-drawn in double figures.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Been a pleasure once more. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Andrew Mount on Saturday's racing then. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. Alex Dunn, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. We have Musselburgh for what is a big day there. William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup Day. We have York and Sandown alongside that listed race at both those venues, as we've just talked about. Bath and Hexham complete the afternoon lineup, and then it's Leicester, Lingfield and Limerick in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into throughout the day. Just a note as well, before we get stuck into Saturday's action, you can watch the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy. He's previewed the ITV7 races. They're available at williamhill.com. If you click on the horse racing pages there, you can also find them on Twitter at William Hill. And you can also get in touch with Your Odds as well. You can create your own bets if you like for the weekend. Hashtag Your Odds to at William Hill on Twitter. Good luck if you're having a bet. Do tune in for the action on William Hill Racing Radio and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.